This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Patty Bolgiano, John Cronin, and Becky Clark. How are you?
We're all doing fine, thank you.
How are you involved with digital asset management?
I am the person who's responsible for uploading our files, our data files, into a data collection and management system. I do naming conventions. I make sure that the files have fonts, have images, decide which method is going to be the quickest way to upload those. Primarily, we are using Quark and InDesign as our software programs here. So I'm making sure that they are current versions and alerting staff if there's a problem. I'm also responsible for revising and updating our paper book editions of our titles. With reprints, there is an actual change in the book itself. Text may be changed, images may be changed. So it's my responsibility to make sure that the application file and the PDF that eventually goes to me, the ebook, are exactly the same and make sure that there are no problems when they are eventually turned into ebooks. And I'm also working with the other members of the staff to get images and PDFs that they need for review or for overseas publications, which means the files have to be there, and I either transfer them via FTP to that other person's FTP site, or we'll even burn them on disks or external hard drives so that they have materials.
Patty, how does the oldest continuous running university press in the United States use digital asset management?
We use it in a variety of ways. First and foremost, it is a repository of our intellectual property, a place where the files reside so that at any time, if we wish to reprint, restock, or pull information from these files, we can do so in an efficient and easy manner. We also view the archive as a place where it can be safely stored. The sheer amount of information that Hopkins Press has is extraordinary. And now we are getting it so that it is at our actual fingertips instead of looking through very old books, very old files. That information that we have at our fingertips can tell us how we thought previously in biosocial sciences and things of that nature to current thoughts about the fossils of birds. So we are aggregating all this information, keeping it at a level where anybody within the Hopkins Press can access it for interior needs or to publish or promote a book outside of the press. It's also part of our heritage, this whole data asset management philosophy. Our heritage is that we are constantly thinking and writing and exploring about various topics, and we are pulling both from the past and the present to show potential audiences how we used to think, how we're thinking now, what new information has come aboard so that we can show a progression of understanding about topics. This also helps us talk with authors who say, I have all this vast information. How can I get it, A, into a book, and B, get the most bang for the book? And by having an asset management system in place, we can then make multiple books if necessary. We can have a volume one, a volume two, a volume three, or we can do some books as a traditional print, some books as strictly as ebooks or a PDF format, so that the reader can have a variety of options of accessing this information. I was the person originally hired to start managing the information that we had gathered, to coordinate it. It's been 7 years, and it's amazing to me how people will ask for something that is 30 and 40 years old, and they want that. And that to me is astounding, because I'm here in the present, I'm thinking, what does something 30 or 40 years ago have that person wants it? It could be something that they're going to use for their thesis. And by having this digital asset management system in place, we can better help them. So it's been 7 years. It's worked really incredibly well. We have been able to just work far more easily and have various departments being able to access this information without having to jump through various hoops. which is always a good thing. Approximately 2,000 books right now with our system, which is Code Mantra. Today I was just putting up more books, so it's constantly growing. It's also constantly evolving because we also can take from the print books and make our ebooks. So we're getting more into ebooks with MP3s in them so that the reader can actually be right there and see something that takes the book to another level and takes the topic to another level.
Well, I came here about 8 years ago, and that was really one of the first tasks that we had to do was to get our archive pulled together, find an outside vendor who could handle the vast amounts of information. And we were able to do that, and Patty was really the first hire, and this is really still the focus of her job. It's very detail-oriented, very critical to the press, and certainly we do ebooks for every single title that we have, so that's essentially all those things are archived, and the conversion process is also something that's done within my Department of Design and Production. So, you know, we're really looking at electronic imprint together, and certainly archive has just been invaluable. We had to set that up before we could really expand in these ways, which are very market-driven.
What are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
The biggest challenge is keeping current titles up to date. In the book world, when you do a reprint, there are changes to the text of that book. And again, as I said earlier, it's my responsibility to make sure that everything matches, that the most up-to-date version is available. So should we decide not only to reprint it, we have the current files, but also the ebook, when it gets updated, has the current files. And then if we decide to then take that book and make a whole new version of the book, maybe it's putting together books about science and evolution, being able to grab all those different kinds of files and put them together in one book, having the most current file is always the most important thing. The biggest success is that previous to my coming here, there was no archive, and it was because of a variety of reasons. No one 7 years ago imagined that all this information that they had would become valuable. They knew in one sense that a book is always a valuable thing, but what they didn't understand is that you have to be able to access that book in a multitude of ways. And being in that, we were able to go ahead and access that information and give it to them.
We really could not scale our ebook program until we had a digital asset management program in place. We couldn't find our assets, much less get them converted to ebooks and do it in a way that was efficient. We realized that the only way we'd be able to scale up our ebook program is by pulling together a robust and well-managed digital asset management system.
What advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
First, I would recommend that you understand that you can go from print to web easy. It is more difficult to go from the web to print because the technology that each is required is unique for that particular type of product. Other things that I think you ought to know, you should understand the formats such as what is an MP3, a PDF, a JPEG, TIFFs, the software that's associated with photography, film, printing, how those formats can change, and how you can keep them from being corrupted. You need to understand that technology is new and evolving, and while you have to adapt to the technologies, businesses can't always adapt as quickly as you would like them because they'll have marketing departments and other departments that feed into this overall picture. So it can take businesses a little bit longer to actually make the changes, and it's just the way the businesses are. Other things I would say is look into library sciences, information systems. A couple of colleges are now starting to offer digital preservation classes online and in person. Always having good people skills and working with people on a day-to-day basis. And understanding that sometimes their things, their projects, their initiatives are immediate, and you're going to have to stop and help them and work them through the program. When you come to a problem, and there are going to be problems when you set up your asset management, sometimes you need to step away for a day or walk around the building or just say it out loud to yourself, and you can pick up maybe the flaw in your logic, or somebody else can say, oh, by the way, you forgot about this particular point that's going to be critical in getting your asset management up to speed. And just remember, it's a constantly changing field. Everybody makes mistakes. Technologies changes, formats change. Being very detailed oriented is really, really critical. So I would recommend that you have a very broad outlook as to all the things that are going to play in when you get your archiving and your data management up and running.
You know, this is certainly a field that has, I think, a lot of employment potential for people who kind of understand, can come from a couple of different disciplines, and you know, certainly jobs out there, and it's something that every company needs in some way. I mean, there's a library, so to speak, an archive, really, in every company, I would think.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, go to anotherdamblog.com. For this and 170 other podcast episodes, go to anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.